How important is branding? When you start your business, branding might be the last thing you look at. Pick a design off of Canva or maybe something that's already existing somewhere else, and you just run with it. I didn't put a lot of thought into it, actually. When I first started What's Good Dough, it was actually my wife who created my logo, and I was like, just put whatever up there. It doesn't even matter. Now that I've had this conversation with Michael Rowland of Yo, who has amazing branding, something that pops out from across the freezer aisle, it really made me consider how important branding is. Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is part two of a two-part conversation with Michael Rowland. And in the first episode, we talked about his company, Yo. We learn a lot about what it's like to be a startup. In this episode, we talk about branding. We also talk to Michael about what has helped him grow his business. And that is related to one thing, asking people for help. This is an amazing episode, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And remember to always ask, what's good, Doe?
Talk to me about building a frozen food brand. Did you expect it to be hard, and is it hard? And
absolutely.
Okay. Talk to me about it.
You know what, Idrip? We, frozen food, unfortunately, it's the most challenging in CPG to start because of the margins. I think my biggest struggle right now, knowing a lot of our team's strengths with grassroots marketing and food sampling, we so badly want to sample this product to the masses, and it's not economical. So that hurts us, because I think when we expand this out and think through what we can do outside of frozen, once this thing takes on legs and we have way more consumer trust, the notion of the snack sampling and being able to do things with shelf stable is amazing. So that's the hurdle with frozen, is just the barrier to entry from a cost perspective. We have to be very careful with our advertising dollars. We sent out a lot of care packages early on for brand awareness, which was really important. But when we've thought through why these benchmark companies always resort to retail, it's because it's unfortunately the only cost-effective measure to grow the business. And that's why you see these companies having to raise money to expand inventory, be able to be in more stores, and why we've been told to focus narrow and deep at first. Even when we do get into retail, we can't just be getting in with this place and that place. We've got to show we can be the category leader with one retailer at first in X amount of locations and be methodical with it. So yeah, it's been really challenging. I think the silver lining is we have a lot more potential outside of just what we're doing right now with the actual fact that we're a dough company. We felt like pizza was the easiest gateway to community build with. Mark our territory in the sand, first to market. And even for retail, it makes a lot of sense. I think, though, we have a lot of oomph as this thing grows and, you know, we start fine-tuning things with even our margins, our ingredient costs. So there's been, and we're now, which I give my COO a ton of credit for, our distribution now is set up nationwide. So we have 3PLs, which is where our pizzas ship from. At first, it was just in Kansas City. So we had to eat the cost for two-day shipping, extra dry ice. We did launch in the heart of the hottest time in history, pretty much, which that's just part of the game, Idrip. We were eager to launch. In hindsight, launching in the heart of the summer, we spent a lot of money on more dry ice. In a perfect world, we wouldn't have launched in the summer, but you can't control that stuff sometimes.
No, the product is ready when the product is ready, right?
Exactly.
And 3PL is third-party logistics?
Exactly. Sorry, I'm in these tunnel visions. And thanks for reminding me of that, where I say these things. I forget sometimes not everyone is engulfed. Most people are not in my day-to-day. So they're like, what is this guy talking about?
To be fair, I was very interested in frozen pizza that I recall saying in the beginning, because I grew up on it. And so I was like, if there's something that I want to do in pizza, maybe it's to revamp the pizza industry and like kind of what you're doing, removing some of the crazy ingredients in there and just making a simpler dough. Clearly, it's much harder than it looks, because you're going through it right now and I feel it. But tell me about, like, what does 3PL do? And does it mean you ship a bunch of your products to a bunch of distribution places and it's ready to go in that way? How does that work?
So yeah, the 3PL. So we have a crust manufacturer, a toppings facility. And then after that, it gets sent out to the actual. So here's how it works. Say that the our crusts are made in Milwaukee. Our toppings are made outside in Nebraska. Then our co-packer is out in Los Angeles. So the crusts, the toppings, the co-packer, then it gets shipped to the 3PL. The 3PL then sends out all the transactions. So any orders that come in go from the 3PL. So now we have them stationed in places in the country, in the Mountain West and the East Coast, to make sure we can get everybody two-day shipping at the most without eating extra cost on speeding up the delivery by a day. So case in point, when we were only in Kansas City at first, we had to pay extra during the summer to make sure everybody was guaranteed two-day delivery, because we quickly saw three-day deliveries. It required not only too much dry ice, but they would melt. So we have, you know, in 110-degree heat in Arizona, if it's not getting there within 48 hours, you're screwed. So that's been, that's a huge benefit now, especially knowing if we could prove retail early on with our existing products. I'm very confident there's a world in DTC with other products that we could sell directly online. Right now, it's a great brand awareness tool. I think in due time, though, it could be a great profit engine for us as well.
Especially with a trend of like Amazon Prime, where everyone just thinks everything should arrive in 2 days or less. I think that really makes sense. I guess for a pizzeria who wants to just bake a pizza and freeze it, I think of like someone like Keste, Roberto Caparuccio in New York City. I've been to his freezer. He just has a bunch of frozen pizzas that he sells. Is that not the way to do it then?
You know what? We think there are a lot of opportunities to what you just highlighted. I think for us, though, we have to, just from an identity standpoint and from what we've been told by advisors, investors, and even looking at benchmark companies, the only way this really works is through retail first. And then once we're established in the grocers, we've been around the block, and even at the point where everyone in the country has been able to experience us, I think that's when we start opening up what you're talking about and planting, whether it's distribution with our dough to restaurateurs or even having individual products on menus where we could put like Yo breakfast sandwiches on some of these big behemoths that are just trying to get better for you versions cranked out.
Yeah, like the Impossible Foods burger at X fast food chain, right?
Exactly.
Got it. How does that deal structure look? I'm very curious.
So, you know, it really depends. Like a lot of these places, they'll give you a purchasing order and you have to, more times than not, just eat the cost. With retail, it's a pay to play a lot of times. So who doesn't want to get into a Whole Foods, right? Or an Erewhon Market in LA? The reality is you have to make it appealing for them, knowing like, oh, well, our margins are going to be incredible because this company is offering us all of these crusts to do a collaboration of some kind where it helps us our bottom lines. Because as a new brand, we have no leverage. And that's just the world we're in. We're going up against really credible brands that have been around for a long time. So not only do we have to look the part and taste the part, but we have to actually have the supporting infrastructure too, where we are. And the people that are letting us on the shelves, they actually have to be vested in it working, or else we'll be in and out of there quickly.
Okay. So there isn't a one size fits all model. It seems like there's some relationship building that is required. That is,
You just nailed it, Idra. Who knows you and who likes you? At the end of the day, I'll never forget in a sports marketing class my freshman year, the one thing I took from the classroom was it's not about who you know or what you know. It's who knows you and who likes you. And I know that sounds, it's just the game we're in, it's a people business.
Yeah.
So, and it's crazy how many people, even to the point we've gotten to now, we've needed help from to even get to this point. So it really is a team effort way outside of just the founders on our team. And even now, we have a lot of gaps that we have to fill as a group, where we bring in seasoned executives that have, whether it's advisors or future hires even, that have been around the block and have dealt with things that we've never even experienced.
I like that last bit of who likes you, because I heard that phrase one time in college. It's not about who you know, it's about who knows you, because you could know Michael Jordan from afar, but does he know you? And then to add on to that is like, does Michael Jordan like you to where he can help you out and give you a favor?
It's funny you just brought up Michael Jordan, because the guy that I heard that from, at least according to my professor in college, was his agent, David Falk. So that was supposedly this guy's claim to fame. My sports marketing professor was, I played golf with Michael Jordan's agent. This is what he told me. And hey, I'll give the guy credit. To this day, I don't remember anything else in the classroom except that narrative. So good job by him.
So you've built this amazing product. I'm a fan. You have the logistics down. One of the challenges that you said earlier was marketing, because you have a limited budget. What's the plan to overcome that?
A lot of pizza makers are using the wrong type of olive oil for their dough. Let me explain. Using commodity olive oil can have a detriment to your pizza, and I'm talking about a huge one. Whether it's rancidity or a nasty smell, you don't want that on your masterpiece. Say goodbye to commodity oil and say hello to Corto olive oil. Corto olive oil is the ultimate choice for pizza makers like us. Why? Because they use quality olives, they harvest it at their peak, and they store it securely so that when you purchase the olive oil, it is fresh. They pick their olives at their peak, they harvest it, and they secure it in a safe way. That way, it's ready for you when you make your purchase. The choice is yours. Do you want an explosion of flavor, or do you want that nasty, bitter taste on top of your pizza or in your dough? Anytime you need some Corto olive oil, use the link in the show notes or DM me, and I'll send you that link personally. I appreciate you for supporting me and my show sponsors. Hey, hey, pizza pal. Did you know a staggering 18% of Americans make a move each year? So even if your business is firing on all four cylinders, you could be waving goodbye to one in every five customers. Oh no, with Our Town America's new mover welcome program, you can seamlessly replace those customers who've relocated. Imagine this, there's a family settling around the corner, seeking out their next favorite restaurant. They're in the midst of creating new routines and yes, on the hunt for their next bomb slice of pizza. Here's your chance to shine amidst the sea of quote unquote restaurants near me. Now picture this, a tailored, warm, welcome gift arriving at their doorstep precisely when they need it most. And here's the secret sauce. By joining forces with Our Town America, you'll learn how to transform these fresh faces into devoted long-term customers. So, are you ready to dive in? Connect with Susan at 480-678-1366 or send her an email at susan@ourtown.net. That's susan@ourtown.net or 480-678-1366. Are you looking to level up your pizza game? If so, I highly suggest that you check out Uni, the unrivaled leader when it comes to pizza ovens. Uni pizza ovens are a total game changer. With the ability to reach up to 900 degrees Fahrenheit, you'll have the power to be able to make the pizza of your dreams. What I love about Uni is their portability and versatility. You can bring them anywhere, or you can keep them on your patio or in your backyard. And you can make a ton of different styles of pizza with it. They're so fun to use. And guess what? You can use them to start your pizza business too. So whether you're a passionate home pizza baker or a budding entrepreneur, you gotta get with Uni. Use the affiliate link in the show notes. That way, you can let my sponsors know that you heard about them through What's Good Dough. Thank you for supporting me and my sponsors.
Honestly, I think a major part of that's why retail is so important, iDrift, for us, because when you look at brand awareness in the right retailers, it's huge. And I think that's also why even like proper partnerships with brands that have done really well from a piggyback effect, where you look at like a beverage company, like a Poppy, for example, someone in our world in drink that isn't a competitor at all, but it's a great compliment, figuring out ways to do giveaways and collaborations with those types of brands that have very much overlap in audiences and their demographic, where we're catering to the same types of folks. So I think those two things are really big for us right now. And also, you know, again, knowing there's people that have done this before with different companies that have gotten exits that are in the trenches now that can guide us and that are more than willing to help, unless they're an actual competitor to ours. It's been amazing how much, it's such a small world in this industry and everyone's so helpful, like way more than I remember in the delivery space. That's for sure.
I love that. I love that the community reaches out and with open arms, and that's cool to hear. I'm not familiar with Poppy, but I grasp the concept. I think of a brand like Mike's Hot Honey, where they like will offer a packet of honey with X food as the partnership. So that's something that you're looking for, right?
It's funny we sent them samples, actually, Mike's Hot Honey. So that's someone we've thought about and talked to as well about exploring some sort of collab. So there are a lot of angles for that, for momentum building, that we like to call the springboard or piggyback effect. Imagine you have a pool and all of a sudden someone's giving you a diving board and you're having a jumping contest with someone that's not on the diving board. That diving board is a brand that's already jumping, or a trampoline. You just get on there. It gives you momentum.
That's awesome to hear. We mentioned the word brand. I would hate not to talk about it because it's so cool. I love the colors and the pop. How does brand, and you've already sort of touched on it, but how does brand matter to companies starting early on? Because I think when I was creating the podcast, I just told my wife, yo, whip me up a logo. I don't care the colors or whatever. And like 3 years later, I looked at it and I was just like, is this what I'm stuck with? You know, I'm not married to it, but I definitely do see how it affects the podcast, even the littlest bit. And, you know, like, I think that was one of my mistakes, is not focusing enough on what the look and the feel is. Talk to me about yours.
You know, Idrif, I think you just nailed it, because I think identity is so important with trust building with consumers, no matter what you're in, for consistency purposes. For when you think of, for example, like a McDonald's, right, where you see those golden arches and you're going in there and you know exactly what you're getting. So if you're getting a Big Mac, whether it's in Tallahassee, Florida, or Jackson Hole, Wyoming, if you're getting a different product there, there's a serious problem. So I look at that from a brand perspective as a new company. For any company, really, you have to be a great storyteller to win. But to even be able to present that story to someone, you have to look the part and have brand standards with that. So our team, and I saw this in our old business with food delivery, where we had to actually pivot, like you were just talking about, with the brand a bit, with the image. It's very challenging because people are such creatures of habit. So in food, especially when you're trying to crack into routines and build trust as a new brand and a new product, that look and feel is so vital, because you want to be welcoming and warm and give yourself a fighting chance to actually earn their trust with their taste buds. That's more likely to happen if you actually look inviting, where it's like, oh, wow, I want to give them a shot and jump in.
Right. We had discussed this earlier and I thought it was a great point, but like, you eat with your eyes first, right? With anything. And like, when you make that purchase, you look at the brand in its entirety, and you're kind of like depositing money with your eyes in that sense, where it's like, am I in or am I out? And then you move on to the next. And if you don't have something that stands out, like this beautiful pink and green shirt with a very like unique font, they may just like go past you into the next frozen pizza or whatever other product you're competing against.
It's the power of the peacock, Idrif. It's a huge marketing tactic too, you know? That really, like, you got it. It's like, even if you're trying to, you're at a party, like I always joke around, I'm a 5'8 Jewish kid. If I'm at a party with a bunch of pro athletes, for example, how am I standing out? It's not going to be my height. It's probably going to be in conversation, but how do I get people's attention? Well, this is a great start. You know, wearing a pink shirt with green highlights, like, oh, well, like that stands out. What's going on there? And I have a friend that's always been great at that. He is, you know, he figures, okay, how can I ice break in a new environment? And he wears really outlandish clothing. That's always been his thing. It's his form of ice breaking. And now to this day, I see really where he's gone with that. And it's an amazing way for him to build community and relationships with people. So I think that the same can be said from a brand perspective, whether it's as a person or an actual product.
You said your COO helped design this brand, and I think that most pizzeria owners don't have that sort of person in their, you know, in their restaurant.
So Jay, he has an eye for it. He didn't actually design it. He helped us.
Okay.
He found our design and packaging team. So he spearheaded help making sure we had the right team. And he was really, I give him all the credit in the world for actually being instrumental on fine-tuning, helping stay on it. That was his part of the business, like his, from day one, what he was so proud of. So we let him go. And, you know, you've got to let everyone do what they feel passionate about. And don't get me wrong, there's plenty of cases where you might be passionate about something, but you might not be talented at it. That's a whole different story.
Sure.
There's a level of trust, though, in a startup. You have roles and responsibilities. And if you feel like someone has a knack for something, you have to let them do those things. So that was huge for us.
Was it an in-house team that he created, or what did he recruit agency?
Actually, Marine Lane was the name of the company. They're based in New York City. So they did an amazing group of people. They did a great job. Were worked with us really closely for a long time to get this right.
So it's doable for anyone to just like say, tomorrow I want to change my brand, or it might take a little bit more time, but like find an agency that you like, have maybe a vision work prepping session with them and make it happen. You're saying it's possible.
It is. And Idrip, the thing is though, it's not cheap. You know, like we had to raise $750,000 last summer, plus invest $100,000 as founders. And now this is the game we're in. We're on the clock. We've got to deliver, prove early velocity, because we need to raise more money to expand the business. So it's not a cheap endeavor to be in this space. And this is why our team jokes around. We're like, why wasn't someone doing this before? We're seeing firsthand why. It's not an easy venture. You know, it takes a lot of things going right. And, you know, you create luck with putting yourself out there enough, but there's no guarantees in this world.
So it costs money to get that brand, but you have to shell out that money because you are trying to move fast. You have to hit a certain benchmark in order to raise more money, and you have to hit that benchmark within a certain time frame. Is that right?
Exactly. And it has to be, you know, you've got to be building momentum. It has to be the right narrative where investors are seeing, okay, this company, I see the writing on the wall where this is going to be in a few years. And it's easier said than done. It's like a chicken or egg dance constantly. And that's the thing with startups. There's always going to be something that pops up and then makes you pivot. And, you know, the unknowns are just part of the game.
I'm almost uncertain where to take these last few minutes of our call, because like, I don't know if I want to ask you about how that money is allocated or how you compare yourself to other startups, if that matters. Because like, the way I see it is, you said the story is important. If there's another frozen product out there that's a startup too, are they like pinning you against each other? Are investors doing that?
Oh yeah. So that's to your point there, Idrip, the story, the whole being a category leader, for example, these investors see everything. So they see the benchmarks that have done really well, and they're comparing us to them, where it's like, okay, well, are you guys going down the path that XYZ went down? And that's why even for us, it's been valuable from day one, from even a branding perspective to marketing and retail roadmaps, to see what companies that have succeeded have actually done. Because you can take a lot out of that. And it's rare that you go in a different direction. There's a reason these guys have done this. And like I was saying, in a perfect world, if we were in frozen, DTC would have way more oomph, where we wouldn't even have to be getting into retail right now. But that's just not the case in frozen pizza. So we know, okay, we're selling packs of pizza, packs of dough directly. It's been amazing, the support we've gotten. But for us to really unleash this, we have to be available in stores where people could just buy a pizza at a time, just like these GoPuff type marketplaces. But in stores is another animal for awareness.
Is it? Okay. And that conversation with Whole Foods is just a bunch of meetings and relationship building. And is that what it looks like?
You know, Idrip, I wish I could say it's black and white. Like, we have really close friends even that work at Whole Foods pretty high up. And it's still, I thought coming in, that would help move the needle. You live and you learn with these things. It's just, everyone is so busy. There's a lot going on internally at these companies where you hear one thing from someone, and then the next week it's like, wait, what? And these are from like trusted people in our network too. It's like people we know we can trust, but it still isn't necessarily guaranteeing you anything. That's why I'm very happy we launched direct to consumer at first, because we did forecast, luckily, that this could happen, where it would take some time to get on shelves. And until then, at least we could drive awareness and business to our website.
Wow. Seems like a daunting task. Let's talk about like some of the glimmers of hope at the end of the tunnel. What's going good?
You know what? I think we've gotten a lot of momentum early on around like people being really excited about us. Everyone that's tried our product has been obsessed with it. So we've been seeing a lot of good return business, repeat business, even with pizza packs. And getting on GoPuff that quickly was really encouraging. And we've had a lot of interest from big time investor, like dream investor types that we couldn't have fathomed would even hit us up this early. I think that those are all really good silver linings. And big picture, you know, our team just loves what we do. We love what we eat. So I think the big silver lining for me, for our team, is we're so obsessed with our product, iDrip, that I don't see a world where this doesn't work in a huge way, because we actually do love what this is that much. Like, this is my favorite food now. So I can't imagine a world where, like, there's people that haven't tried this yet. I'm like, oh, this is a travesty. We've got to get in their freezers. So that driving force, when you go back to the why are you doing this? And it comes back to, like, I love food, and I want to be healthy as I'm getting older and still be able to enjoy my favorite foods. And that, when you think about it, call it a mission statement if you want, but being able to have your cake and eat it too. And with this, it's pizza, bagels, you name it. We're all huge bread lovers. So I don't want to have to play this game of, like, oh, I have to play tricks with my taste buds with what I'm eating. It's yo time to shine, as we like to say. Like, this is our mecca, and what we really love, what we're engulfed in here.
Yo, you got this.
Thank you.
I don't want to sugarcoat it. I really do love the pizza.
Thank you.
And I really want to make that clear to everyone, not just because you sent it to me for free. And so I really want people to support this. There's a lot of listeners in New York who have access to GoPuff. If you have a Chase credit card, you get some pretty good perks with GoPuff. So you could try it there. You could try it by ordering through the 3PL that they got. It'll come to you in 2 days. That's amazing.
Definitely. Right through our website, eatyo.com. Our Instagram is the eatyo handle, just EATYOUGH. And hopefully we'll be on shelf sooner than later, iDrift.
I'm hopeful. I'm crossing my fingers for y'all. And we have a great leader here who's going to take the team to get their win. Tell me, as the CEO of a company, because I think everyone is their own CEO in a bit, but, like, of a startup, what advice would you give yourself 2 years ago when starting up this business for the first time? What if you were to tap Michael on the back of his shoulder and be like, yo, listen.
Yo. Honestly, I think my uncle said it best to me when I was a teenager. No fear. I think
no fear.
You have to get used to having uncomfortable conversations as a leader. And I think, and dealing with intimidating people that have been really successful, that, you know, are on a level that I dream of being on one day. But I think it's acting in faith and not fear every day. I like to think of myself as courage executive officer. When you really think of, like, what, I'm not a title guy by any means, but when I actually think of what my role is to lead our team, it's putting ourselves out there and taking the hits for us, where it's like, I'll have the tough conversations. I'll show up where I need to show up and be the face for us and get thrown in the fire. It's, you know, you can either act in faith or fear every decision you make. So I'm doing my best to keep hammering the faith.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Is there anything you want to leave the audience with today as we wrap up?
I mean, just what's good dough? It sounds like an awesome podcast. Everyone that hasn't heard it yet, I'll be spreading the word. iDrip, you're an amazing host. I love how I actually used to have a podcast, and I'm hoping you've just triggered me again, wanting our team to start one soon. I just love the whole intimate one-on-one conversations where you get to know someone like this. And the way you handle this platform, it's very soothing, comfortable, and you've got a great voice for it. So what's good dough, I think, is on the up and up, and I'm pumped to be a frequent listener from now on.
Thank you, brother. I will welcome you back on the show anytime you want to throw down when it comes to your broadcasting skills. I love this conversation, and I loved what I learned from you, and I'm inspired. So thank you for being on.
Thanks so much, iDrift. I really appreciate you having me on. It means a lot.
Well, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. And if you're wondering when the next part comes out, you got to subscribe or sign up for our email list. That way you get notified when the next episode is coming out. You can subscribe by following the show, or you can sign up for the email list. There is a link in the show notes. Please remember to share this with a friend, especially if you think they're going to benefit from it. Remember to leave a rating, 5 stars if possible. I appreciate you. I love you. Till next time. Peace.